Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, in a lot of marriages, families even, money is a hot topic. And especially in marriage, there's a statistic, and I don't know what the numbers are, but statistically, a lot of marriages end because of money. And that is just so crazy. So Chuck Bentley joins me. He's CEO of Crown Financial Ministries, and he's co-authored a book with his wife, Anne. And the new book is Money Problems, Marriage Solutions, Seven Keys to Aligning Your Finances and Uniting Your Hearts. You're going to try to keep these marriages together, right, Chuck?
I am working hard at that, Tawana, because mine was one that was being pulled apart by money. So we've been through a big trial in this area, and that's what we're committed to, is helping other couples win that battle.
That's so awesome. Tell us your story. I'll bet a lot of us can relate to it.
Well, I married a complete opposite. In our marriage, someone described me as a pit bull and Ann as a poodle.
Oh my
And so, you know, that's a difficult combination.
Yes.
We fell in love in school and got married after we had not known each other for a long time, and it became clear that we were going to be a real challenge learning to communicate and to cooperate and to build that unity in a marriage. And it particularly was hard when it came to money, because I had my ideas, she had her ideas, and we just didn't agree. And that went on for 21 years. It caused a lot of pain. I was very, very stubborn, Twanda. I wrote about it in the book about my own pride. I wanted my way, and if Anne tried to change me, I felt disrespected. And, you know, I had the ego.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't make it work. It was a real struggle. So we didn't make any progress financially. We just struggled along. And here I am today, the CEO of what's considered the largest financial ministry in the world.
Wow.
And people wondered, think I never had any kind of problems like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to tell our story. We had a lot of problems, and it took God to bring us together.
So, Chuck, who was the spender and who was the saver?
Well, I'm the spender.
Yeah.
I'm the big spender. You know, if it's four-wheel drive or it's got
Oh,
camouflage on it, or, you know,
yeah.
it's anything like that, I'm ready to
Toys.
go. I
Yeah.
made the big decisions, Twanda. I made the decisions that put us in pain.
Wow.
Anne is conservative. She's the saver. And I always wanted my way, so I would spend us into a real problem.
Wow. And you're admitting to it, thank God. You have to be transparent in order for change to come, correct?
Absolutely. You have to recognize what is reality and what needs to change.
Just a phenomenal story, and I bet so many people out there are shaking their heads or looking at their husbands or their wives and going, "That's you." That is you. So, you know, in groups and in different areas, especially with women, I hear that it is. So you tell me what is right according to the word. Because what does the Bible say about money? What does the Bible say about money within a marriage? Most people have his, hers, and then theirs together. And none of us know if that's the right way or what we should be doing.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You framed it out correctly, Twanda, where people believe it's either mine or it's hers, or in some cases, they compromise and say, no, it's ours. But if you open the scripture, it talks about money from Genesis to Revelation. It's the most talked about subject in the New Testament. Jesus talked about it more than heaven and hell combined. So it's a major issue in all of our lives. It doesn't matter what demographic you're coming from, whether you have a lot or a little. It's always an issue. And the truth of it is that all the money is God's. And until we recognize that it belongs to Him, then we're not going to get on the same page with God. We're not going to be, as a man and wife, operating from a biblical philosophy of money. And one of the big changes that happened to me was I had to realize that it wasn't mine, it wasn't my wife's, it was God's. And when we recognized that it was His, then we had to become faithful to be His stewards.
Exactly.
We decided to do that together. And that's what brought us together, Twanda, is the unity around God's word.
What's interesting about that too is in the tithe, there's just a little side skippy bunny hunt here, on the side, is that God only asks you for 10% of His money. The other 90% be good stewards of, but you know, a lot of people won't even do the 10%, and that's such a small part of it.
Well, He's provided everything. We always acknowledge that He's faithful to be our provider, and we celebrate that. We thank God. We praise God for being so faithful to give to us. And then we don't even want to give back a tithe.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you. It starts with saying, Lord, it's all yours, and 10%, if that's what you're asking to build your kingdom.
Gladly.
And I'm willing to do that gladly and cheerfully.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's so interesting. So, you know, you talk about five smart money decisions to safeguard your marriage, because, you know, that's what it's all about, that compromise, that coming together in the marriage and saying, this is what we're going to do. And I've only been married 6 years to my husband, and he's like you, and I'm like your wife. And he had to recognize that I'm always very conservative. And so I keep everything real safe and in a box. And sometimes he wants to, you know, go out and do something else. And I go, no, you have to take care of home first. We cannot do that right now. So talk about the five smart money decisions to safeguard your marriage, because people end up in divorce court over money.
Well, it's the number one reason that people do divorce, Twan, mm-hmm. and I think it's because it affects our identity. Men want to be respected, and if we feel like we're being put down because either the way we're providing or the way we're managing money, then we get angry about that and we withdraw. But a woman needs security, and if she feels like a man isn't helping financially or being wise with money, then a woman feels like her relationship is threatened.
That's right.
So it affects us very, very deeply, and the arguments are painful about it. And how well I know, because I'm not speaking from a position of having done it right. I'm speaking from humility
mm-hmm.
of having done it wrong. So our first step, number one, was to become a peacemaker. And a lot of times we pray for peace in our marriage. We go in the other room and we pray, Lord, bring peace in this house. But the word peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers, is a verb. It means you're going to get up and do something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to become a peacemaker. You're going to apologize. You're going to try to make it right. And I tell people, if one of you is a peacemaker, your marriage is going to survive. But if both of you will become a peacemaker,
yes.
That's when you'll thrive.
Yes.
That's when it gets real, when you can say, you know, let's get together and forgive the past. Let's not beat each other up
mm-hmm.
for mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no condemnation for making bad financial decisions. There's a lot of pain, but there's no condemnation. Jesus isn't going to condemn you for it. He wants to restore you from that. So let's restore each other. Let's build each other up and become peacemakers. And we had to do that after 21 years, Twanda. You've been married 6.
Yeah.
It took us 21 years to become peacemakers.
Wow. Well, I'm starting now. I've already started.
All right. It sounds like you are. I can tell by your voice you're a peacemaker. The second step is to grasp the biblical definition of prosperity, because in my life, prosperity was outside the home. It was how much I earned. It was my job. It was my promotion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sense of net worth. And I pursued that hard. But the harder I worked, the less happy it made my wife.
Right.
And I couldn't figure it out. I thought something was wrong with her. What was wrong with her? If I was prospering and we were being successful, why was she unhappy? Well, her definition of prosperity was inside the home.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted it around being a husband and being a father and building our home together. And so we had two different definitions, and God had to take us back to Jeremiah 29, where he says in verse 11 that he knows the plans he has for us, declares the Lord, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope in the future. And he told us in verse 4 through 11 that that plan is in our home, that we're to get married and have children. And our prosperity comes starting at home.
Mm.
And I had to turn my heart back towards where my wife was, and that was finding prosperity as a husband and a father.
Because, you know, you look at, and sometimes in that season of work, all of us have it, where, it, you know, you put your nose to the grind and it is on. You work so that your kids can have, so that they can go to school, so that you'll have a good retirement. And, you know, we always talk about work balance. I don't think there's a such thing as balance in this life, but that you do have to focus and make your home your priority. My pastor has said that, you know, when the marriage fails, when there's trouble in the marriage, it's the man's fault. And the man has to look up, take responsibility, and do what he needs to do. And if that means, you know, not working as much so that your home can be happy, so your wife can feel like she's loved as well, then sometimes you got to do that.
Well, I agree with you. There's no success in the world that will replace a failure at home.
Mm-mm.
And I got caught up in that I thought I'd be success in the world and that the home would take care of itself. But it takes work.
Yeah.
It takes maintenance. It takes a real commitment at home. And so we had to go through that by getting there through the painful route. And we've
mm-hmm.
now been married, next month will be 39 years. So
wow.
we've had 18 years of doing it God's way, 21 years of doing it my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, doing it God's way where prosperity is found at home is much better.
Yes, absolutely. So what's number three?
Well, I think number three is getting on the same page with what you believe about money. It's having a philosophy of money where you agree with God. And that gets down into the core of our being. If we really step back, we're usually managing money either what our family taught us, what we learned in school, or what we've read in some magazine. But very few of us are agreeing with God, what he said about money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was ignorant, Twanda. I'd been a churchgoer all my life, but I didn't have a clue what God said about money. I didn't know any of it. And
mm-hmm.
there's thousands of verses in the scripture that God gives us his wisdom. And so I said, Lord, I want your wisdom. And I'll never forget the day, Twanda, my sweet wife had me cornered. She said, do you agree with God what he said about money? I said, well, of course I do. What am I supposed to say? No, I'm smarter than God.
Right.
Of course. So she had me. I said, yes, yes, I agree with God. She said, well, then if you agree with God, I'll agree with you. And that's what
Amen.
Unified us was our belief.
Mm-hmm.
So we developed a view that we weren't going to make a financial decision unless we knew what God's word said about it, and we were going to obey God. And that helped us to stop all the fighting and all the arguing about our financial decisions.
You know, the interesting thing about that, too, is that what my husband and I have learned is that God is never in a hurry. When those decisions need to be made, sometimes you got to just sit still and wait.
You got to wait. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Twanda, I told you before we went on the air that, you know, we were opposites. We were very, very different. And we had to learn to accept each other's
right.
personality.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is the introvert. She and I'm the extrovert. I'm the talker. She's the thinker. I'm the big picture visionary. She's the small
details. Yes.
You know, I like how I'm factual. She's subjective and wants to be sure that people's feelings are honored.
Mm-hmm.
So in almost every way, we were just 180 degree different. And one day I thought, I'm the right opposite and she's the wrong opposite. She needs to be like me.
Oh, my goodness.
And the poor thing, I tried to change her to be like I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we'd go to a party, I wanted to be first to arrive and last to go home.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to meet everybody in the room, and I get energy. Well, before I took her to a party, she'd pray, Lord, give me energy to go to this party. I don't really feel like it. And we'd go, and she'd sit in the corner and meet one person and not get up and move around. And I'd say, come on over here and meet all these people. And she'd be saying, no, you come over here and sit with me. So we'd get in a fight at a party.
Absolutely. On the way home.
Well, I mean, we weren't even having a good time. And
oh,
I thought, how
goodness.
Could this be? We can't even go to a party together.
Yeah.
And she'd be looking at her watch saying, when are we going home? I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day the Lord said to me, you know, she's not the wrong opposite and you're the right opposite. She's exactly who you needed.
Mm-hmm.
You would be a complete lost, empty fool without your wife. You need an introvert that likes to think. You need a planner. You need someone who is a saver. You
Absolutely.
Need someone who likes the details.
Mm-hmm.
You are completed perfectly with her. Without her, you are just half a man.
Wow.
And so I realized that we use this illustration that she sees the world 180 degrees different than me.
Mm-hmm.
Two people are standing back to back. If you think you're married to an opposite, which so many people are, you think, well, man, this is so crazy. How is this going to work? And the Lord said to me, lock arms with your wife and stand back to back with her and lock arms. And so we did. He said, now turn and look the other way, rotate. And
mm-hmm.
we rotated. And he said, Chuck, when you look in this way, she's got your back. And when you're looking that way, you've got her
yes.
back. We are a 360 couple.
Mm-hmm.
You're covered in everything
Every
you
angle.
Need as a man and wife.
That's
Every
right.
angle.
That's
covered.
Right.
So I turned around and I said to my wife, I'm sorry I haven't accepted you, how God made you.
Mm.
And I accept you from this day. I need you. You are perfect in God's eyes
That's
to
right.
be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she accepted me. And I think in our hearts, Twanda, we all wear this little invisible sign that says, do you value me?
Yeah.
And we need it every day. We need it from our spouse. We need it from our children. We need it from our work. We need it from at church. We need it from strangers. We need to value each other. And when we value each other, we listen to each other, we show respect, we show kindness, we show love, and that cooperation honors God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when marriage becomes so exciting, because now you've got a unified team.
Yes.
You've got all the resources
yes.
coming to bear on the plan.
That's right.
And you're not going to fight with each other. You're going to fight against the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to turn your energy towards the problem, not towards each other.
Right, right. That's a perfect analogy of what it's like, as it is. Once you bind yourselves together in Christ, nothing can defeat you. Nothing
right.
can come against you unless you forget that person's not the problem. The problem is the problem, you know?
And you can make progress financially.
Yes.
Because you now are a stronger team. Two are better than one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the next step is to make a plan. And what happens, a lot of times we make a plan, the plan doesn't work, and we get so discouraged, and we get so frustrated, and we start blaming each other. And then Satan just uses that to divide up marriages. And what he wants is to divide marriages so that we don't make progress.
Yeah.
But if we'll stay united,
mm-hmm.
at the heart level,
mm-hmm.
and we'll keep fighting on these financial issues, we'll set a goal and make a plan, the plans of the diligent will lead to prosperity.
Absolutely.
And Twanda, we not only turned it around in our relationship, we turned it around financially.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to pay off the debt. We were able to start saving. We were able to reach financial goals we never dreamed of. And so this idea that God wants to prosper us, he prospers us as we make peace and as we unite with our spouse as he intended. That's when real prosperity comes, where you're sharing the joy of your progress together. And you're making progress towards the goals that you've always dreamed of.
That's right.
And I've seen it happen over and over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a plan in place. You can't just do it. You can't do it willy-nilly. It's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to come through the lottery.
Oh, no. Not even that. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about the lottery. But the last piece of the five is?
Well, I talk about a process,
mm-hmm.
because what happens is we start down a plan. It's like getting on a diet. I've done that, and then I've fallen back, and then, 6 months later, I look bigger than I did before I started the first diet. And it gets so discouraging, and what I realize is couples need a process.
Yeah.
And my wife and I discovered a process that works so well for us. And I'll give you just a little example that's from the book. And I know we don't have a lot of time to go through all the detail
mm-hmm.
of it, but I'm better at offense, and she's better at defense.
Right.
It's like a sports analogy. You got to have both if you're going to win the big game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to do the offense and the defense. I tried to do it all, and I was failing. And when I realized she was so good with the detail, I went to her one day and said, babe, I want you to be the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to control the budget. I want you to write the bills. I want you to do everything on time and at high standards.
Right.
And I'll bring in the money, and then we'll unite on our goals, but you got to manage it, and I'll stay out of your way. I'll stand down from spending it and from
mm-hmm.
running up debt, and I want to be the offense and you be the defense. Well, that little change right there started a process that was phenomenal. I mean, my wife is just a fantastic money manager,
mm-hmm.
and she's now got it going on. She, Twana, she can have on an outfit if we're going to look our very best, and she'll say to me, you know what I spent on this outfit? And I said, what do you mean? She said, from the shoes all the way up to the scarf around my neck, $12.
Yeah, I love that.
And I could never do that,
mm-hmm.
but she can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's able to save money, and so that was one of our processes. We also started red light, yellow light, green light, and that means that we've got to agree on a big decision. And if one of us says red, it means no. If one of us says yellow, it means we're going to wait and pray, like you said earlier. And if we both say green, we're going to go forward. And I'll tell you a quick story. She came up with that idea because if she ever said no, I wanted to argue or get my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know how a man is.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have my way. So she would say, no, we're going to use this red light, yellow light, green light, and you'll stop arguing with me. So one day I told her I needed a new suit, and she said, red light. And I said, well, babe, I'm going on national TV. I've got it in our budget. I've saved. I'm ready to buy it. It's on sale. What's wrong with you? She said, red light. No argument. I said, well, why a red light? Why not a yellow light? And she said, well, everybody's gone casual. You can wear jeans to church. You don't need a new suit. I said, well, Ann, I inherited the suit from a dead man 25 years ago. I'm tired of wearing it.
Oh, my God.
And she said, red light. I'm about ready to pitch a fit. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe I'm still wearing this suit that I never even paid for. But it was a Giorgio Armani.
Oh, yeah.
And I inherited it. Mm-hmm. It was made in Italy. And I'd worn it for 25 years. Well, I was mad, and I went on the TV program where I was being interviewed. Never happened in my life, Twanda, but the interviewer leaned over, and he said, you know, you're talking about stewardship and money and budgeting and getting on a plan, but you're wearing a Giorgio Armani
suit. Oh, my God.
And I looked at him, and I pulled that suit together, and I buttoned it, and I said, sir, I inherited this suit from a dead man. I've been wearing it for 25 years. I was proud of my suit.
Oh, my goodness.
And I realized if I had not listened to my wife, I'd have been sitting there in a new suit. And I said, you know, she saved my reputation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She saved my reputation for listening to her.
She was listening to the Holy Ghost, okay?
Listening to the Lord. Telling me no.
Oh, my goodness.
I told that story in Brazil, and there was a man came up to me, and he said, green light. And I said, what do you mean green light? And he said, would your wife agree if I bought you a new suit? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, that fits our budget. And so I brought home a new suit handmade from Brazil because I listened to my wife tell
mm-hmm.
me red line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Duan, I was teaching in China. And I taught this same story. I had on my Brazilian suit, mm-hmm. how God had provided. And a man came up to me and said, you know who I am? And I said, no, sir. He said, I'm ahead of Giorgio Armani of China.
Oh, my gosh.
He says, I thought I'm getting a new suit right then. And he said, mm-hmm. does your wife have an Armani dress? And I said, no, we don't buy Armani. He said, she does now. And he sent me a new Armani dress for my wife.
That is so wonderful.
Red light, yellow light,
yes.
and green light.
I love that. I love that. We're going to have to put that into our process because we definitely are in a process as well. We got to pay off our house and just trying to reduce some debt. We don't have a lot, but we like to pay off our house. So. That's a
yeah,
good
well,
one.
Well, set that goal, Twanda, and just set your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to help you to reach that goal, and then work together to show love and respect to your spouse. And then you guys start working together on that goal.
Absolutely.
And you'll be amazed. You've only been married 6 years, but you know, if we talk together in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years from now, you'll be amazed how much progress you make. The Bible says steady plodding will bring prosperity. That means like the tortoise and the hare. You
mm-hmm.
just got to be slow and steady, and you'll win the race.
That's so true. It's a phenomenal book. I love the humor and the humility. My pastor always says that Satan has no answer for humility. So, you know, there's no attack when you're humble. But, Chuck, tell people where they can find the book and more information about you and your wife, Ann.
Well, thank you so much, Twanda. I love that answer that, there's more answers for humility. I always say humility is the greatest form of relaxation as well.
Mm-hmm.
You want to relax just to humble yourself.
Exactly.
That's a relaxing way to go. But the book is available anywhere books are sold. We also offer it at our ministry website, which is crown.org. We have lots of free budgeting tools there, calculators, ways that people can get on a plan. They can take courses. We've been teaching courses since 1976 when Larry Burkett started this ministry.
Mm.
We've teach millions of people every year how to manage their money and how to do it God's way. So they can come to crown.org and find what they need. And you also asked me about my dear wife.
Mm-hmm.
She agreed to write the book with me if I didn't ever ask her to do any of the interviews. She's a behind-the-scenes person. But she did a lot of the research for me. She wrote some of the prayers. She wrote some of the homework exercises. And in the book, we make a biblical case for marriage. We found
yes.
out through our research that marriage is an advantage. There's a marriage premium that people avoid poverty by getting married.
Mm-hmm.
They increase their chance of affluence. They increase their sexual satisfaction. They increase their life happiness. Every single area of life is improved through a committed, faithful marriage. And so we wanted to make a case for marriage. We know people today are afraid of it. They're delaying marriage.
Yeah.
They're struggling. The average age of people getting married today is getting older and older. And we wanted to say, you know what God made is good. And we want to support marriage and show people that money doesn't have to divide you, that money can actually get far better. In fact, there's no other marriage living arrangement that comes close to the financial benefits of a covenant marriage. In fact, one of the major investment houses in the United States said they did a survey, and the people who are single that have a savings account at their institution versus the people who are married. And the people who are married have a 10 times greater savings rate than the people who are single.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd think it'd be a double, Twanda, but it's 10 times greater.
Right. Right.
And I think it's just honoring God, doing things God's way. And I just want to speak to those who maybe aren't married and want to be married, or they've had a failed marriage. There is grace for you, and God hasn't abandoned you. And although I'm making a great argument for getting married, I think it is God's way. He also honors those who are waiting on Him and waiting on Him to provide for their spouse.
That's right. That's right. Chuck, thank you so much for joining us. Chuck Bentley, CEO of Crown Financial Ministries and co-author with his wife, Anne, of the new book, Money Problems, Marriage Solutions, 7 Keys to Aligning Your Finances and Uniting Your Hearts. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
My privilege, Twanda, and thank you for partnering with us, and appreciate what you're doing.